Happy day, Joy Starters. Hope you are having a good day. If you hear the road noise, you know, I was always going to sing it. If you heard the road noise, hear the road noise in the background, it's because I am doing another podcast en route. And this happens to be the last podcast of season two. We'll take a couple of weeks and then we will come back with season three. But right now I am on the way to Marion Correctional Facility. If you've been a listener of this podcast or followed me on my newsletter for any time, you know that last year I went to a men's correctional facility for the first time, a maximum security prison. I talked about how terrified I was, how the gates closed behind me, how many people will never come out, and how I found the oddest thing inside those prison walls. I found joy. And it was the last thing I really thought I would find there. And I found people that had made decisions to harm people, harm themselves, to do wrong, that were going to not be absent from their consequences and have to serve out their sentences, but are now different people. And so now I get to go back. And so what's interesting to me is, and I'm going to do this podcast in two parts. You're going to hear this first part before I go in. And then you're going to hear the second part after I come back. So probably going to be emotional, going to be telling you stories. And interestingly enough, looking back over the history of I'm Changing the Narrative in the 7 years and all the stops that I've made, 80 plus colleges, many of them multiple times, schools, law enforcement, corporations, churches, halfway houses, all the things, I wish I would have stopped after everyone and just recorded the stories. And so this podcast does serve as a little bit of a recording of what happens, because I tell you all the time, when you get some distance away from a miracle, some distance away from a transformative experience, you forget it. You forget the details. And I know that, ooh, I'm going to start crying already, that I've been fortunate enough to help so many people and speak life into them. But sometimes those individual stories blur just a little bit because there's been so many of them. So that's why I'm doing this. And then I'll pause and then you'll get the rest of it tonight on my way home. And I will tell you the last time I went, and I always invite you into my story in this podcast. And the theme of this season was about dreams and dreaming big and being audacious and being bold. And I will tell you the last time that I came to this prison, I was late. I was tired. I had just come back from LA like the day before, I think, or church day before, and on a speaking trip. And I was tired. I was scared. I was frightened. I did almost pull out. And I remember my friend, Pat Avery, God bless his soul, was like, I was scared you were going to pull out on us at the last minute. And I said, you were wrong. Because I almost did. I was that scared. I was letting fear rule my life. And so what I want to ask you now is, now that I'm on the other side of fear when it comes to this experience, this opportunity to go back into a maximum security prison, to the least of these, to men who have done horrific things, some that will come out, some that will never come out, and get to speak life into them. What I want to ask you this, what is on the other side of your fear? What is on the other side of your fear? Because if I had quit that day, if I had given in to my fear that day, if I'd said, I'm too tired, I'm not going, I'm afraid, I would never have this opportunity to go back to where now I feel complete joy, complete peace, complete excitement on the edge of my seat. You can hear it in my voice to go speak life into these men. So if you're listening to this and you have a notebook, if you're driving, make a note, then go back and ask yourself. I literally invite you into this podcast. What is on the other side of fear? What breakthrough, what joy, what peace, what experience, what love is on the other side of fear? I never would have known this the way I feel right now. I'm getting to go back had I given into that fear this first time. I will also tell you that we are coming off of Easter. And for those that are believers, I've got to tell you the neatest, most amazing story. And the lesson here, and this is what I want to teach you. I'm a teacher at heart. What I want to teach you is to never, ever discount your gut, never, ever discount your intuition. Some people will call it the Holy Spirit, whatever, woman's intuition, whatever you want to call it. But about 3 weeks before Easter, 3-4 weeks before Easter, I started to think about wanting to create core memories for my bonus kids and wanting to do something besides just not just, but going to Easter service and then coming home and having lunch somewhere. And that was that. I wanted to truly do Easter. So I knew I was going out of town to work in LA. And that's another story that I'm going to share with 600 women from La Poa. And it just unreal, these women, unreal, amazing. And I'll share that in just a moment. So I knew I was going to have to go ahead and prepare. Then go ahead and think about what I wanted to do, what I wanted at the dinner. Who was I inviting? What was I doing for my kids? And so I began to think about gifts for them that were spiritual gifts, that were faith-filled gifts. And if you're not a believer, look, I am very inclusive to everybody here. I always tell you in this podcast, I will never, ever, ever shut up about my faith. But I as much as I want you to believe what I believe and enjoy the Jesus that I know and the God that I know, I'm not going to discriminate against you or exclude you. I'm inclusive. So faith is not your thing. Just fast forward to the rest of the podcast. Although you might get some faith there too, because whoa, we're going to be going in this prison and doing some things tonight. But about 3 weeks before Easter, a couple of weeks before Easter, I started thinking about what did I want in their baskets and what did I want to do for them? And what did I, and my mom used to hide my basket. Did anybody's mom hide their baskets? I felt like they're a little bit too old to be hiding baskets. Maybe I could have done that. Maybe I'll do that next year, but I didn't. So I got all four of their baskets, got them stuffed with their gifts. And then my eldest daughter had a friend over. So I did her a basket and had her an extra basket with a little gift in there too. And I remember my pastor saying to us, hey, you know what? Easter is the only time that some people will ever come to church. So invite people to Easter. So I thought about this brunch that I wanted to have. And I thought about my son's best friend's mom and their family. I thought about my neighbor. I thought about another couple that we love, their household. And then my daughter's best friend. So that's representatives of four different households. Y'all, Easter morning, I was so excited. We don't have great service in our church, like cell service. So it was hard to like text people, but I was so excited. I went early and I saved 16 seats between these households, 16 seats. And I was giddy about it. And everybody comes in and our rows look like, I posted this on Instagram with a beautiful picture. Our rows look like heaven. I mean, that you talk about the rainbow, pink, purple, black, white. We were all there and we were in his sight. Woo, woo, woo. And my pastor preached the most amazing message and really just a wow, okay, hit you right in the eyeballs message. And at the end, and I always do this, when there's an altar call, I always bow my head and pray for people because I know what it was like to be 13 and say, and be white knuckling the pew in front of me. If you've read Relentless Joy, my book, and saying, I'm not going, God, I'm not going down at church camp, and being kind of magically transformed down the pew, down the aisle. And so I'm always praying for people. I'm praying for people that are wrestling like I was. I'm praying for people that many, many people, I could see them, like I could just see their uncomfortableness, to be honest with you. I could tell they had not been inside of a church in a while. They weren't wearing quote unquote church clothes. Although I love my church because everybody comes in all different kinds of outfits. Nobody looks down on you if you don't have a certain outfit. And I love that about my church, Journey Church in Yulee, if you are ever in the Amelia Island area. And so I saw all this. So I was praying and they asked us to bow our heads. And so we bowed our heads and then afterwards they asked us to open our eyes and raise your hand if you had accepted Christ into your heart or you want to take that next step and you want to be baptized. And I don't know. I wasn't expecting it. I was praying for everybody else, everybody in general, but four members of my group that I invited of these different households of these 16 seats, four members raised their hands to signify that they had made that decision or wanted to get baptized. And y'all, I just got to tell you, I cried like a baby. I cried like a baby. I ugly cried at church and I was already crying. And you gotta know, this is so cute. My husband comes from like a Lutheran background, so they're a little bit more buttoned up. And I come from a non-denominational, dare I say, Pentecostal background to where we're like clapping and woohoo and yeah, and raising our hands. So we could not be more different in that regard, but we both love the Lord. And so I was just crying tears of joy. My heart swelled like where the Grinch's heart, where it got smaller. Mine swelled to like maximum capacity, like out of my body. Because as much as I get wrong, and I get a lot wrong, I screw up crazy. I am human like the rest of us. I am sadzy and mouthy and fiery and still unhealed in places that I'm working on with Jesus and therapy and all the things, right? But for all that I get wrong, what I did right that day was obedience. Obedience, and 3 weeks before, knowing, feeling in my spirit that I, one, wanted to have a gathering after Easter where different families could gather and just talk and enjoy each other and have Easter brunch. I also knew that, according to my pastor, I wanted to invite these people to church because I'd always heard my old pastor say in Atlanta, Pastor Jensen Franklin, it's your job to invite them. It's the Holy Spirit's job to do the rest. And so, yeah, that was my Easter. And then we went back to my house and had the spread of all spreads. We got fried chicken. I did deviled eggs. I did a cake. We had a pie. Somebody else brought potato salad. They brought a fruit tray. We had a cheese tray. We had macaroni and cheese, green beans. Am I making your mouth water yet? We had the little Hawaiian rolls. It was good. It was very good. And we sat down on our back porch where we don't get to entertain enough because my husband and I are both busy. Our kids are busy. And it was just so nice to sit out there for a couple of hours. It wasn't like anybody ate and left. We ate, talked, chatted, laughed, giggled, did all the things. And I was so very grateful for that opportunity. So that was my Easter on top of getting to come here and speak to this prison. But I've got to tell you one more story. So I mentioned that I just got back from LA. I spent about 30-ish hours in LA at the invitation of LAPOA, which is Los Angeles Women's Police Officers and Associate. I think I nailed it. Los Angeles Women's Police Officers and Associates, LAPOA, this amazing board. I got there on Wednesday night. I was able to have dinner with them and get to know them, these powerhouse women. Y'all, I have said this. I said this on the NIL House today. I do a show with them every other week. I've said this on an Instagram post. I have said this, and I want to say this now in this podcast, on this podcast. I rarely fangirl. I rarely fanboy. I just don't do it because of what I used to do with sportscasting. I don't. I've said it on this podcast. I just try to treat people normal and the same because we are all normal and the same. Some of us have achieved amazing things, but we are all the same. We are all cut us. We're all the same, right? And so I just don't fangirl fanboy much, but I go to this dinner and I am around these women who are remarkable in every way. And not only remarkable in every way for their service and the ranks they hold and how they're breaking ceilings for women and reaching back and helping other women, but they are remarkable for the things that they're doing. And I'm sitting at this dinner table and I'm right down for me the woman who's on the bomb squad, y'all. The bomb squad, the LA bomb squad. I took a picture of her patch and put it on the internet. I believe she's like the first or maybe even second woman in the 150-year history of the LAPD to be on the bomb squad. There was another woman there that, oh, no big deal, had just done hostage negotiation like in the last 2 days. Another woman who was on SWAT. I mean, these women are like, what? What? And I said it in my newsletter. And if you're not listening, or excuse me, if you're not subscribed to the newsletter, y'all go to the link down below in the show notes and hit newsletter, sign up. It comes once a week. It's amazing. We don't shove stuff down your throat. Week before, we had 74% open rate for the newsletter. Standard good is 20-30%. And you guys are just so amazing. 74% of the people that were subscribed opened this newsletter. And I'm so, so thankful for you. But I said in the newsletter, if I ever have an ounce of the courage that these women have, I will be very fortunate. Ounce of the courage that they have. And people think I'm courageous, man. No. These women were courageous. So we go to dinner. Now, keep in mind, I'm 3 hours ahead, and this is a dinner, so I'm exhausted. And I didn't sleep well between Eastern time and California time. And I get up the next day. I didn't have to speak till 2, but I wanted to be over there. I wanted to sell my books. I wanted to meet people. I wanted to network. I wanted to see other speakers. And so I walk in right as soon as these amazing women, the old board, were kind of handing off to the new board and passing the baton. I got to take pictures. I was and woo-hoo from the back of the room. And to everybody that was on that board, you just guys are amazing. And I hope you're listening to this right now. And so got to do that. And then before you know it, it was my opportunity to speak. And this event, the other speakers were amazing. Oh my gosh. I even made a little quip in my talk where I talked about how you go to hear some speakers and they're so great and they inspire you and fire you up so much, but you don't get takeaways. And then so a week later, you're back to where you were. That's not the case with the speakers at this event. They were amazing. And so it was my opportunity. Y'all, they had walk up music. What the heck? Who has walk up music? I chose Tina Turner, Simply the Best. I am a Tina Turner super fan. Actually had a picture that said, "Are You Bold?" And it was a picture of a black and white picture of Tina Turner and a picture I recreated at my photo shoot for Relentless Joy of that photo in honor of Tina Turner. And so, are you bold for your healing? Are you bold for your family? Are you bold for your promotion? Are you boldly throwing the rope back for somebody else? Are you bold for your legacy? And so that's what we talked about. We talked about a lot of different things. I got up off the stage. I danced on the stage. I danced up. We laughed. We giggled. I've often been told by people that hear me speak, you really take me on an emotional journey. I don't know how you're going to land the plane, but somehow you do. You have me crying. You have me laughing. The whole gamut of emotions, girl, you have me going on all of that. And so it's just really an amazing time. Like I said, I got off the stage. I mean, I was pushing up between people's seats. There were 600 people in the room. And the coolest thing happened, my bonus daughter messaged me. I put some things on social media and she messaged me and said, "I'm proud of you, Rach." And I told them in the talk, your kid says they're proud of you. Like, that is everything. that's everything. And so that gave me my extra go juice that I needed. And I went out there and I changed lives and I touched lives. So I scurried to the back to sell books and hug people as they were leaving. And one woman said to me, had a few women just embrace me and hug me and they were so precious. But one woman said, looked me in the eyes with tears in her eyes. And she said, "You were a wake up call for my soul. You were a wake up call for us." What an honor. What an honor it is to be a wake up call for somebody's soul. Woo! And let me tell you something. The end of this beautiful story. It's not the end because I even told these people during my talk, I'm making myself an honorary board member. I mean, they were laughing so hard at me. I don't know if they were laughing at me or more like, get her off the stage. Take the microphone from her. Cut it. But I said, I'm going to make myself an honorary board member. I'm going to tell my husband, I ain't coming home from California. I'm the newest board member from La Poa and I ain't even in law enforcement. But that's how much I loved these women and this gig. But here's the best part of this opportunity. And here's where I'm asking you to see yourself in this story. And I always do it. I do it. Is that I was trying to figure out how this gig happened. Because I have said this to you before and I'm going to say it again. I don't put social media out there willy-nilly. I do to share joy, but I also do to share the hard parts of my life to be real. But most of what I do is very strategic. And so I didn't know how she found me. I didn't know she found me through Border Patrol or whatever that may be. And so I was talking to Ruby. She was the initial person that I was talking to. And then she went silent. So here's your first lesson. I just stayed relentless. I emailed 3, 4, 5 times. I didn't hear back. And then finally I heard back. And it's so hard. I finally heard back to Ruby. Said, "I lost my son. So sorry. I've been in touch." I said, "Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry. So sorry." And I've told many of you, I have a prayer wall and I put Ruby up on my prayer wall and I just prayed for her every day. And I would send her messages and just let her know I was praying for her. And then Amira took over. And so when I was there, I was talking to Ruby and I said, how did this happen? And she said, I'm big into athletics and my nephew is an athlete. And I saw where you put crowns on his post. And I went and checked you out and I figured out you were a speaker and I figured out we wanted to have you for La Poa. And I'm like, what? So here's your lesson. One, be relentless. And two, be kind to people on the internet. Be kind to people on the internet. Go around and spread joy like confetti. Go on other people's posts and and say nice things, genuine things, conversation. There's social media people that tell you to do that. I just do it just because I'm genuinely interested in commenting or adding value or respectfully saying I believe something different. And I had a gig come out of and lives touched and all of these amazing new people on the email list and bought the book. And again, lives and souls touched. That's what I do it for because I was kind on the internet. And I don't know if you like get the significance of how cool this is, how amazing this is. And what you can learn from it, what you can learn from it is don't go on the internet being a jerk. Don't go, you never change anybody's mind by going and being a turd on the internet, right? And I just wanted to tell you, I wanted to teach you, because everything's a teaching lesson in this podcast. You never know what job promotion or opportunity or misconnection or friendship or anything, a passion project or anything that's going to come from you being kind on the internet. Somebody connecting you, but I could tell you all the things that can happen from you being a turd on the internet. People, they can be bullies. I've been bullied. People can be mean. It can come back to haunt you. All of these things on the internet. And I've spoken passionately on the internet before about something that I care about and recognize that maybe I was speaking too passionately about it. And maybe I needed to take a break and maybe I needed to rethink that. And maybe there was a better way to rephrase it. So listen to me. How you show up on the internet, it matters. It matters greatly. And I'm just overwhelmed and blown away by the fact that I met these beautiful, amazing, wonderful women and some men that were in attendance and got to speak at this event and got to spend 30-ish hours in LA because of kind comments and emojis that I put on the internet. Have you heard the old adage, a warm lead is the best lead? Well, it's true in anything, right? I mean, you see advertisements in magazines and social media and all of these things, but the best kind of referral and advertisement is when a friend says, hey, you should try that. Hey, I use that. Hey, I love that. Hey, I love her. I love this podcast, this book, whatever it is. So I want to ask you to put your thinking cap on. Is there anybody that you could, one, send this podcast to today? Secondarily, is there anybody that you know are decision makers at businesses or at a school or a teacher or administration or a coach that you could say, hey, listen, I think you should have Rachel in to pour into your people? And just so you know, listening to the podcast, you'll learn this, but I've expanded now outside of schools. I work with corporations. I coach people. I work with churches, halfway houses, prison ministry, K-5, high schools, colleges. Wherever you've got an event, I'd love to be considered. And a warm referral is the best thing and the nicest thing you can do for me. Blessings, my friend.
So now I am on the way home from the prison. And I'm exhausted with joy. I say this often after I speak. Last week, speaking to La Poa, and by the way, I had their pen in there, so I was thinking about them. Last week, I was speaking to La Poa. I came home, and I don't know if you've ever been like this after work, whatever it is you do, but have you ever been bone tired? I'm bone tired, but I'm exhausted with joy and purpose. And so I went in there, and I talked to these, I think it's like 213 men that are in this particular unit that get to come and hear me speak. And so anyway, so I went and I talked about Jesse Owens. I talked about this German athlete that became his friend in before World War II in the Olympics. And then they stayed friends. It was just an amazing story. If you have not looked at that, you have to. I will put a link in the show notes about the story, but I'm so exhausted right now. I won't do it right. I won't do the details right. But I talked to them about that. And the lesson there was how to be a good friend, how to be a good friend. I also talked about my Easter story and how to obey the nudge, obey the little feeling in your gut, the gut feeling, the Holy Spirit, whatever it is you call it. And then I talked about Daniel, the book of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I think the neatest part was, one of the neatest part was at the end, the pastor that brings me in, this husband and wife team, allowed me to do an altar call. And I am just a regular person, but to get the opportunity to do an altar call. So I had everybody bow their heads. Then I said, you know, if there's anybody in here that doesn't know, that wants to know God, wants to invite him into their heart. And I had everybody had their head down, and y'all, seven people raised their hand. And it just, like Sunday, that to me is everything. You could give me an Emmy. You could give me $1 million. You could give me a mansion. You could give me a boat. You give me a car. You could give me Louboutins, and none of it would compare even one million to a soul going to heaven because you were obedient. And I cried. I talked about my past. I talked about where I am now, how God has changed me. And afterwards, the pastor got up when I gave him, when I was done, and he said, that was the most unreligious, on fire message of God. Like, she was funny and she was not religious. She was just real, but she was speaking his word. And he said, that's what we need. God was not religion. He is relationship. And if you've been told that your whole life, religious, and he's mad at you, and he's this, and he's that, no, I invite you to relationship. I'm going to, again, I said earlier in this podcast, I will never make anybody feel excluded, but I'll never not speak up for my God. And that's not the podcast for you. Flip to the next episode. And I hope you love me for the other things I do. But I am a conglomeration of I'm changing the narrative, which is not faith-based, my brand, which is faith-based, my faith. I'm a conglomeration of all these things, and the lines blur, and I can't help that. And I have to be who I am, and I have to speak. And so I believe that there's somebody listening to this podcast that doesn't know, that's questioning, that has felt religion forced down their throat, or felt somebody at their church be mean to them or judge them. And they want that relationship, and they've been curious. Message me, DM me, email me. I'll pray with you. And I'm driving home now, and I'm just worn out with joy, worn out with purpose, and so very grateful that I get to do this. So very grateful that I get to go to a maximum security correctional facility and speak my life, speak my gut, speak my truth, speak my heart, and that these men would receive it and hear me, and not only receive it and hear me, but be moved by it to make a decision that will change the rest of their life. And I also talked about you're not too dirty and you're not too broken. And wherever you've been or whatever you've done, you're not too far gone. You can change the narrative of your family. You can apologize. Don't let shame keep you from writing the letter to your kids and explaining to them what happened to you and why. And I've said this before in the last one, why you did what you did, not using it as an excuse, but how did you get there? Who were you? What happened? And what do you want to learn from it? How do you want to be better? Because if we don't teach our kids better and the mistakes we made, they're going to make the same mistakes. We got to teach them why we made our mistakes and how we're better. And don't step in the same foxhole that I did. Not foxhole, bear trap. Don't step in the same bear trap that I did, right? So it was just insane. And you guys are amazing. So thank you for letting me tell my story of Lapoa and Easter and coming back to this prison. It's just unreal. I'm so grateful for you. As always, I'd be so grateful if you would share this with a friend, 10 friends, a couple of group texts on your socials. You would like, comment, and review. How to review? You actually hit the podcast wherever you listen to your podcast. Go into the actual podcast itself, scroll down, and there it'll allow you to leave a review. I've had people ask before. Blessings and pod blessings, my friends. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful you listen to this podcast. And consume it, and share with me how it's changed your life. This is the end of season 2. And I want to give a huge special shout out to Kim Peek, who is my lead marketing maven gal friend. She is the one responsible behind the scenes for this podcast. She makes it all happen. She makes it all go. She makes it all pretty. When I'm all over the country in all kinds of places, in airports and in cars, looking, sounding crazy and all kinds of background noises. And she edits me to make me sound less crazy and takes care of me and just really is such a wonderful person to work with. So I want to give a huge shout out to you, Kim, and say thank you for everything that you've done for season 2. We'll take a couple weeks break. We will come back for season 3. And I Love you guys. I see you. You matter greatly. And I'm proud of you.